What is up, wilderness? Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to episode number seven.
Seven?
Lucky number seven for episode for the Hockey Wilderness podcast. I didn't even know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Where
I'm
are just, we? Who are we?
We don't know.
What are we?
Folks, I'm running on minimal sleep. So you're getting a very loopy version of the typical Ryan Quigley tonight. And speaking of which, yes, I am your host, Ryan Quigley. You can find me on Twitter at @RP_Quigs. Joining me, as always, is the wonderful at Lindsay Brown, 35.
Hello, greetings.
Lindsay, it's been a while since we did our last podcast.
It's been just a while.
It's been a while.
Enough singing for me. Oh my God.
It's been the holidays. We've had the,
Yes, it's more because I've had family in town the last couple weeks, so my schedule has been pretty packed, but I'm glad to be back here with you and trying to, make sense of the Minnesota Wild that have, just turned the biggest turn you
like
can turn.
3 weeks ago, yep. I wrote an article saying, ladies and gentlemen, the Minnesota Wild are the worst team in hockey. Literally, according to the standings, the worst team in hockey.
Yeah, they were playing like it.
They were playing like it. That was 3 weeks ago, and now they're in a playoff spot. And I'm just like, I don't know what to think about any of this. It's the whole thing is crazy. Folks, so today, what day even is it?
It is December 7th.
How crazy is that? It's December 7th, and this is the 7th episode of the Hockey Wilderness Podcast.
Yes. And it's also Pearl Harbor Day.
Is it really?
Well, that's what December 7th is.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Shout out to all of our World War II vets out there.
Yeah, shout out to all of you. My granddad, he's a World War II vet. Fun fact, he was on a ship one time, as folks in the Navy do.
Yes.
And they got torpedoed.
Really?
Yeah, you lived.
No shit.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I don't even know if it was World War II, honestly. I think it might have been something
else. Okay. Well, my grandparents are in World War II, and obviously shout out to all those vets and all that they do and all people who are currently serving for us today as we speak.
That's right. You guys rock.
Yes.
And I'll tell you who else rocks all of a sudden. The Minnesota Wild. Folks, 11-game point streak. We are coming to you. It just ended. They just lost to Carolina Hurricanes, and it was...
They're a good team, though.
It wasn't pretty. It was not pretty. It was 6-2. But you know what, guys? I'm really not gonna slam the Wild too much for this loss, because let's think about it. They're on a 3-game road trip. They've played a lot on the road this season so far.
Have they?
Ton.
No.
I don't think they've even played a home game yet.
They don't even know where their home rink is.
They don't know what city they even play for.
The ice isn't even there.
Yeah. And so it was the third game of their 3-game road trip. This is a really, really good, fast Wild team. And you know what? If they just kind of ran out of gas in the third period, which it looked like they did tonight, I can't really fault them for it. It happens to the best teams. You know,
yeah.
You're not going to win every single game. This was just not their night, I feel like.
Well, and the Hurricanes are dealing with a lot of momentum behind their franchise right now. They've really taken from last year, and I was worried that they weren't going to take advantage of that momentum that they generated as they snuck into the playoffs with a really strong second half, and they just seem to have picked up right where they left off
right. And
find themselves in the top three of that Atlantic Division, which is incredibly, incredibly competitive as it is. And
really,
yeah,
the Eastern Conference in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like this year it's truly anybody can win. Outside of, like, Washington, there's really nobody that I feel is unbeatable. And that's the great thing about the NHL and the parity of this league. And you're seeing some teams like the Carolina Hurricanes, like the Arizona Coyotes, like the Florida Panthers.
It's so good to see the Coyotes doing this.
Right.
It's
seeing those teams that have been kind of struggling over the last decade finally start to get some positive momentum and play well against the teams that have been beating up on them for years. And the Wild are kind of doing that all in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like, they've touched on all the bases. They started off the season looking like the worst team possibly ever in any sport. And then
sport.
And now they just
complete embarrassment. Bad news bears had nothing on this team.
And now they're just going on this tear. And I know it's over now, technically. But, I mean, once they start stringing together losses like they were previously, I'm going to just continue to assume that this is not 11-game point streak Wild, but like consistently competitive Wild. You know what I mean? Like, that's the team they've been recently. And
it's crazy what confidence does for your game, isn't it?
Right. Oh my God. All right. Can we just get into this right? Speaking of confidence, Zach Parise, man, he's been nuts. And we were talking, I listened to our previous podcast. We were talking about Zach Parise. I was saying, put him out there on 3-on-3. And you were like, how many goals has he scored this year? And I didn't even, I think at the time it was like four or five or something. That he, what did you just?
Don't worry, just move along, move along.
So Lindsay's eating some Chinese food.
No, I'm not.
And she just, she had a whole mouthful of something. She just,
I had sesame chicken.
Spit it out.
You know when you're eating the sesame chicken and there's like a little piece of fat in there and it just ruins your entire bite.
Honestly, that I can understand.
Retweet.
That. Yeah, no, that that's a big retweet. I would. I would quote
so Zach Parise.
That. He's finally being Zach Parise again. Like. I just, it's so good. And it's not just him either. It's Kevin Fiala. It's really,
it's the
like,
geek line. The geek line the is geek all
squad.
I hear about.
The geek squad. Like half the team is all of a sudden becoming confident.
Yul Eriksson Ek is the new, is the second incarnation of Patrice Bergeron, I hear.
What do you mean? Like just how difficult he is to play against?
Yes, and he's just a 200-foot player. And that's why, I'm like, I'm very glad that the point streak is happening, that they are playing competitively and are holding a playoff spot as we speak. But let's pump the brakes a little bit here, too. Like, this is, as quickly as this turned around, it could go back just as quick. And it's great. The young guys are doing well. We're seeing them reach levels of their game that we have not previously seen. That's awesome. But let's just chill out a little bit. Let's try to stay. Never get too high. Never get too low. You just got to keep playing your
game. You can't with this team.
Right. And you are seeing great things, but you also have to be realistic. And, you know, you're going to have games against teams like Carolina, but sometimes you got to be able to close those things out.
Honestly.
But you know what? Considering the tear they've been on, I will give this give them this game, and it should be interesting to see how they start playing down the stretch here, at least through the Christmas break. Now they get some more home games. They have time and space to start capitalizing on all this momentum. But when you play at home, with all the great things that come with it, there are some drawbacks as well. It means you have distractions with family. It's the Christmas season. It's snowing in Minnesota, so, you know, driving gets a little bit crazier. You know, it just gets a little bit more hectic, but it's not like they're not professionals. They haven't been able to deal with it before.
Right. So back to Parise real quick, just because I feel like he's earned a whole lot of praise for what he's been doing. First month of the season, October, he had 3 points the whole month. All of them are goals, so that's nice and good. But, I mean, 3 points is horrible for him.
Yes.
And so now he has, I believe it's, how many is it, 17? Yeah, 12 goals, 5 assists, 17 points. And he's just really—
During this 11-game streak or including—
Not during the 11, but like
still,
in total,
that's 15, right?
I mean, he's been putting it together.
Right.
Like, he's really been— I mean, he's looking like himself again. And I feel like the whole team just needed to regain that confidence. Kevin Fiala, he's all of a sudden looking like Predators Kevin Fiala, if not better than the Kevin Fiala we saw in Nashville. So, like, there's a whole lot to like what's going on right now. I know there's the whole crowd of let's tank. Guys, I was on that. I was with you.
I'm still on it.
I was on the bandwagon, and honestly, I might be too.
Yeah.
If they started losing every game from this point on, I don't think I would care that much just because it wouldn't be bad for them to start tanking. It wouldn't.
No, and it's not bad that they're in playoff contention right now, too.
Exactly.
It's
fun.
It's fun. But honestly, if they, like you said, I'd be totally okay if they reverted back to whatever they were and they end up going back to the bottom of the standings. But if they have the ability and the talent to capitalize on whatever they've built up here and hopefully can carry them through the season, why not give it another try?
Right.
But when earlier in the season when they were playing like dog shit, we were like, yeah, let's just let this be dog shit.
Let's
just let it move on. But now it's turned into fertilizer. Now photosynthesis is happening.
Maybe some flowers will be
growing. Yes, flowers are growing or you're
some
seeing
tulips.
A symbiotic relationship.
Maybe some pansies will grow.
Pansies, correct. Maybe a couple tulips.
Yes.
You know, whatever. Yeah. But that's the thing.
I'll tell you this, though. If they get to the point where it's just like they barely miss the playoffs, then all of you have the right to like throw things at XL Energy.
I mean, and that's what they usually do. That's pretty much the story of the Minnesota Wild, except most years they are able to sneak into the playoffs.
Recently
only to
they
be,
have been.
Right,
yeah.
Only to be dispatched quickly in the first round. And so that's what you want. You want your team to either be really bad or you want your team to be really good. Because when you're picking 16, 17, 18, that's not going to do much for you. And even if you want to move up, that pick is usually included in the trade package. Most teams aren't going to be looking to do deals with middling round picks.
Right, right. And see, that's the thing. I feel like a lot of people realize, hey, like, cool if we contend, but, like, we know we're not going to be able to contend for much longer just because of the age of the team. You got Ryan. He did not look great against Carolina. Like,
what happened?
He had a really, really ugly turnover. I think it was in like the second period that resulted in a goal.
Must happen.
But I mean, he just doesn't. And there was another point, I believe it was on the power play. Someone sent him a nice, easy pass. I mean, so easy to catch this puck at the blue line. It wasn't like he was on the edge or anything. And it just went right past. And it's...
So, ugh. With that in mind, winning has a tendency to cover up some blemishes in your game or your team.
Right.
So there's a lot of people playing well on this team. Zach Parise, we talked about the geek line. Other than Ryan Suter, is there anybody else on this squad who is not really who's still having trouble contributing, who's really kind of weighing the team down at all? Because you're watching it a lot more closely than I am.
Right, right.
Is there anybody that's not performing well still on the Wild squad over the last 2 weeks or so?
You could point at Victor Rask, I feel like. He has been
getting... Isn't he top six?
What was that?
He's in the top six, isn't he?
He's fourth line.
Oh. Well,
yeah.
I thought I read on Twitter that he was going back to Carolina as part of the top six.
Maybe he was filling in for Koivu because Koivu's hurt.
Yes, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And folks, if you're listening to this and he's still not back, it's from what I understand, it's supposed to be a pretty minor injury. So he should be back pretty soon. So no need to sweat it too much. But yeah, like I know he has gotten a couple of goals recently, and I don't know.
He has a tendency to be opportunistic of other people's mishappenings.
He's just so incredibly invisible.
Yes.
Like unless he either. Like, when he scores, that's a good time to show up, but he rarely does that.
Right.
And all the other times, I straight up don't know that he's playing.
But he's getting limited ice time. You don't put the fourth line out there to sustain offensive pressure at the same time, too.
But that's the thing. If it's a good team, you do.
Correct. Correct. You know? Correct. He's not taking advantage of all the opportunities that he does have, but once in a while, he'll surprise you.
Yeah.
Which is what you're looking at. That's fourth line hockey.
Right. Well, you know who has surprised me a little bit?
Who?
He's still not, I don't think he's even close to what people are hoping he could be. But Ryan Donato has been doing some things recently.
Yeah.
Scoring goals.
What's the deal with him? Because now that you're seeing Greenway, you're seeing Cunnan, you're seeing Eriksson Ek, Donato has really still haven't, he's still having some trouble figuring everything out, right? He's
so
still young, though.
Remember that report that came out from the Ottawa Sun saying, like, oh, Donato, Fiala, and Eriksson Ek are all, like, you know, in trade talk or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Like, now I don't think there's any possible way they trade Eriksson Ek or Fiala. If they're going to trade anybody, Donato's probably the guy, I feel like, they end up.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to get some good assets in return, sometimes you have to give away good assets to get them back.
He has, believe it or not, 5 points in his last 7 games. So he has gotten better, but still, I feel like I'd like to see a little more from him. And maybe it's just because he is on the fourth line. Maybe if he was on a line with Azu, and I'm not suggesting the Wild should do this, but maybe if he was on a line with Zuccarello,
right,
or a really good playmaker, then maybe we'd start to see some more point production out of him. But,
right, you got to earn your stripes.
Right.
You got to play better. You got to give coach a reason to disrupt the lines and to whatever chemistry. If you're playing that well, that's an easy decision to make.
Yeah. And right now, I don't see a reason why you would want to disrupt those lines.
Right.
Because you got the Geek Squad. I love that line.
Yep.
And honestly, I think like 80% of it is me just loving the name of the line.
Well, and you know how perfectly this all sets up because Best Buy is headquartered in Minnesota.
Oh, is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
So,
damn, that's awesome.
If anybody hasn't figured that out yet,
I'm just
saying.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think you want to keep that top line together with, you know, Koivu, Fiala.
Yeah.
Or excuse me. I believe it's Koivu. Yeah, I'm getting all the lines mixed up. I know Zuccarello, Zucker.
End of the day, Donato's not playing well enough for him to be considered a top nine forward.
No.
Straight up. Yeah, but he's making improvements. He's starting to get going.
This is what he needs right now. He needs to be just slowly getting
because
himself back
he's
into
not
the
playing better than the guys in front of him. So you can't move people up if they're not playing better than the guys in front of him. Straight up.
I will say one player who hasn't been great, and I mean, he's... I'm just gonna. It's Dumba. Dumba hasn't been fantastic.
There's a lot of people seemingly jumping off the Dumba bandwagon
this year, isn't there? Should we be concerned?
I've never personally been as big of a fan of his game as a lot of other people, and that's not saying that I don't think he's a very capable and has potential in this league as a defenseman, but he's an offensive minded to a fault in a lot of ways. And as he matures, maybe as he gets later into his 20s, his decision making will get a little bit better. But he has such a tendency to pinch at the inopportune times that lead to odd man rushes, or pinching a little bit too high in the defensive zone where he doesn't really fully grasp his gap control of being like, do I have bodies back to take this type of pinch this high in the zone? Because if you take it too high and then he beats you and his teammate or and another guy sneaks behind you, then you're looking at a 3-on-1 in zone. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Against Tampa, he had a pretty bad gaff where it turned into a goal. Yeah, and then luckily the Wild came right back and scored immediately. So.
No, he's not going to be a Ryan Suter defensively. He's just not. But that's why you need him paired with another very defensive-minded but maybe closely just as dynamic defensive partner, because you need someone who can make up ground should Dumba take those bad pinches or decisions.
Right.
But sometimes you can't. Sometimes that his partner isn't playing that well either.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem.
Guess how many points he has in his last 10 games?
1.
0 points. Mm. 0.
And is he still seeing power play time?
Yes.
That's a problem.
Yes.
That's an issue.
I thought you were saying him seeing power play time was an issue. I'm like, I don't know about that.
No.
Him not scoring on the
Correct.
Power play, though, that is an issue, especially for this being a guy saying, hey, I'm going to be like one of the first defensemen in forever to score 30 goals.
Yeah,
like,
correct.
Like,
this is what you're getting paid for.
He has 9 points
this season. Yourself? I don't understand.
Yeah.
What's his deal? Is he missing the net? Is he not getting pucks through?
I don't even notice him a lot.
Huh.
I just feel like he hasn't been the typical Matt Dumba this season. Maybe some of it has to do with, I'm not suggesting that this is it. I don't know. Maybe there's some lingering effects from last season's injury.
There's definitely a relearning how to play with your new body, even though it's only one part of it that was injured. There's just a different feeling getting re-comfortable and reacclimated in your own skin.
Yeah. And I just feel like I feel like there's a lot more to being, you know, left on the table.
Right.
You know, I think we should be seeing more from Matt Dumba. This is a guy who I feel like a couple of years ago, many were saying was going to be the face of the franchise, and now it's not looking quite like that.
Especially for a team like the Wild that generates a lot of their offense through their defensemen.
Yeah.
So has done so over the past few seasons, and he was a huge part of that before he got injured last year. But yeah, I'm sure that he's having conversations and they're trying to figure it out, because you need him to be equally as lethal, especially when you have him on the power play. Because if he's not producing on offense, as I just highlighted 2 minutes ago, he's not really there for his defense. So he has to be good at what he's meant to be good at, and that's when you need to capitalize. And if he's not doing it, he needs to be moved off the power play.
And crazy enough, he has only, of his 9 points this season, he has 3 power play points.
Right.
Just 3.
Unacceptable.
Maybe you do kind of give him a kick in the ass and say, hey, like, yeah, we're taking you off.
Or just
the power
take
play,
something off his plate. Just say, hey, we're gonna put like Susie on the power play. He's been playing really well lately.
I don't know if I'd put him on the power play.
Well, whatever.
But
what I'm saying is like, move around. Say, hey, Matt, let's just focus on getting you back to producing 5-on-5, or at least maybe playing a little bit better defensively, and then the offensive points will come. And then once you start getting that confidence back, then we'll put you back on the power play. But right now, you're not the best option.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that's set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, we want to ride this wave, and right now, your paddling skills on your surfboard are just not going to make it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. And, well, this really segues pretty good into our next topic here.
You're welcome.
You talk about confidence.
See.
The position that is so driven by confidence.
Mm-hmm.
The goaltenders.
Ah, yes.
The goaltenders.
Semi-familiar.
So, you know this obviously because you played goalie, you played collegiate hockey, All-American player.
Okay.
you were. What?
Yeah, I was, but all right.
And so you understand firsthand just how much confidence goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some much improved goaltending from the Minnesota Wild recently.
Well, it couldn't have gotten much worse.
You're right. They were so bad to start the season.
Yeah.
But Alex Stalock is playing pretty well. Let's not get it, you know, twisted. He's not putting up any Vezina numbers. He's not going to be taking home any hardware at the NHL awards or anything like
that. But he's holding down the fort.
He's holding down the fort.
And he's giving you a chance to win.
Yes, mm-hmm. He's giving you a chance. Like, what do you think could be? Do you think? Well, let me say this. For those of you who don't know, Devan Dubnyk has been out for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being is because his wife is going through some health issues right now that are quite serious, from what I understand.
Right.
We don't know exactly what those are. It doesn't matter what those are.
And I believe he has at least three boys.
Yes.
If not more. I think
he has a family to take care of.
Right.
That's what's more important.
And if mom's not there, and he obviously needs to support his wife and support his family
yeah.
and be able to deal with this. There are bigger things than hockey.
Yeah. Like, honestly, when this is going on, like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Really,
honestly,
who cares?
So, honestly.
No, so he's gone. That's why he's gone. I've seen some people online who, you know, might be saying, like, where's Dubnyk or whatever? That's
yep, fair
where
enough.
He is. And so I think Stalock has been playing pretty well in his absence. Just based off of your history, you've been following this team for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Stalock getting this? And do you think that there could be a real goalie controversy here?
Well, I think there is, at least in this season. I don't think you can argue it otherwise, and that has nothing to do with the fact that Devin has had to take some time away from the team, because before that happened, he wasn't playing well. And it's okay. Like, it's this happens, and things you have to deal with whatever team that you're dealing with, and who's having a good year and who's having a bad year, and Devin should focus on that.
And you got to worry. You got to wonder how much of this personal stuff
absolutely.
Was weighing on him
absolutely.
Early in the season.
Absolutely. Because as much as the coaches and ourselves, as we try to tell ourselves, when we're at the rink, we leave the other stuff outside. There are things that just straight up supersede that. You can't. It's so goalie. You don't talk to people. You talk to yourself. It's a very
right.
solitary and very individualistic position where you have to learn, just as much as it's important to learn how to butterfly slide correctly, it's equally important to learn how to deal with thoughts coming into your head and whether or not you should grab onto them. And for some of our listeners, it's going to be a very weird thing to hear and kind of sit with. But you have thoughts that run through your head all the time, but it's your choice whether or not you go after that thought and basically grab it and say, oh, I had a thought that saying that, oh, I'm not playing well, I'm not feeling very confident today. Instead of letting that go, sometimes you start reading into it. You're like, you're right, I'm not playing confident today.
Yeah.
I gave up this rebound here and then this rebound here and then that goal was here and then it spirals and it goes. That's the most important part about goaltending. And Alex Stalock is one of those goaltenders that is so athletic and just so raw. And that's what kind of plagued him in his early career when he was drafted by the Sharks. He was supposed to be, Marty Jones's position, Marty Jones's contract was supposed to be Alex Stalock's. Like, they had a lot of faith in him ascending to that starting goaltending position after Antti Niemi left the team after winning a cup with Chicago. And I think it was at 2009. But Alex Stalock is an athletic goaltender and he's undersized. And obviously Devan Dubnyk is a very tall goalie and very much like block and rebound type of guy.
Yeah.
So it's a very different dynamic and a very different defensive mindset for the defenseman when Alex Stalock is playing. But when he's playing well, when he's making those athletic saves, when he's able to go cross crease and get those one timers, those types of goalies, I liken him to Jonathan Quick, and he's not Jonathan Quick by any means, but
very few people,
but their style is similar, where if you get them going, if they start to get a little bit of confidence, they're going to steal that game, and they're going to make saves that you're just like, holy shit, I've never seen anything like it, because they're throwing every body part plus the kitchen sink in front of the puck.
Right. And, I mean, we've seen him play like this many times throughout this 11-game point streak. Now, I mean, were there some goals that he should have had that he gave up?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's with every goalie. But you know what? I mean, he's the only goalie on this team that has a shutout this season. So,
yeah.
I mean.
And the young guy, I was about to say,
Kapo. Kapo Kakko? Who cares about him?
Yeah, we got the
Kakkonen. We got Kapo Kakkonen.
Made, what, 44 saves in his debut? Something like that?
Something
just
nuts.
A casual heavy lift?
He broke, like, the rookie record.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
Franchise history. And so, like, and did you see the second game?
No.
He tried to get a goalie goal.
Oh, yes, yes. Hilarious.
What?
But that's huge for him. And he's obviously been in Iowa and in the Minnesota Wilds organization for a while. And
right.
He's kind of one of those guys that's been tapped as the next starting goaltender once Devan Dubnyk kind of goes out.
He's 23. He's 23. He's at the age where now this is where young goalies start to come on.
He's still a little early.
He's still young. But
it is so huge for his development and his career for him to have the start. And I know it's one game. You're like, it's his first game. But to get into the NHL as a young goaltender and have that type of performance, to have like 40-odd saves, that's huge. It's not like a 17 of 18 where you weren't really needed. He was needed in that game, and he needed to stand tall, and then they won, right?
Yes, so he's played two games this season. They won both.
Yes.
He made 46 saves in the last game.
Huge for your confidence. Yeah. Huge.
For that to happen in your first two games, I mean.
And the organization, because he's going to feel it on the inside, and the organization's going to reflect that back, and that's going to help him grow and help him go to the rink with the vigor and the want to be better and improve that he wouldn't. I mean, I'm sure he works hard otherwise, but there's just a different edge when you're playing well. You're like, hell yeah, I want to go to the rink. I want to get better because I'm already playing really well. Let's widen that gap between me and my competition.
And then I believe it was against New Jersey. Yeah, New Jersey was his first start. The Wild kind of got an early lead for him, and that's a lot for a young goalie when it's just like, hell yeah, we got a lead. Like, you know, it's a whole different game once you know that you're a couple goals ahead.
It's a lot harder to play a game in which you only see 12 shots than it is to play a game when you see 40. I'll just say that.
Do you think this, I mean, I know it's two games. Like, really, this is the, I mean, that is nothing almost. But we did see a lot of great stuff from him. Do you think, I mean, this is a good sign for him going forward. Do you think he could be maybe someone who comes on in and eventually takes over as a starter one day?
I don't see why not, based off of what we've seen so far. It's just that it's always what you've done already, that's done. You have to do this every day. And this is what learning how to be a professional hockey player, and I don't know because I'm not a professional hockey player, but it felt like it when I was in college. And it's not so much when it's not about the game. It's not about performance game, because it's easy to get pumped for the game. It's easy to get up and be like, I'm ready to go and play. It's about the morning after that game that I'm going to go in early and go watch tape, and I'm going to talk to coach. And even though I played really well last night, I want him to rip my ass apart and tell me what I did wrong on this save, and then know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my stretching. I'm going to get some stim from the trainers. I'm going to do some hand-eye coordination, maybe some stick handling, and you do that over and over and over. And, oh, yeah, then you go on the ice and practice. And then you have that same shit, same mentality for every rep. You're going to work on your skating. You're going to work on your edge work. You're going to work on that rebound control, and you have to do this over and over and over, and have that. You want your life to be boring as a professional athlete when it comes to actually doing your job, and that's what most goalies look for, the consistency, the routine, because in your routine, that's where you find those half of percentage points that you can get better at that separate you from being just a regular old NHL goaltender to being one of a potential generational or at least for your generational talent.
I think what gets me excited about Kakkonen is just the fact that, like, he has such a good resume already. Mm-hmm. Like, he comes from Finland. He's a Finnish netminder.
Which is already, it's a B-plus at least. Exactly. Finnish netminders, you're like, hell yeah.
You know he's going to be good.
Bring him on in. Bring the Euros in. Bring him in.
And so he played for Liiga, or I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, but it's the top league over in Finland. And he was fantastic in 2017-18. He had a 220 goal, or goals against. Yeah, goals against
Everest. You're right.
I get them mixed up.
It's okay.
I don't know
it's intimidating when you're talking goaltending with goalies.
All it is I just see the numbers, and my mind like computes numbers as if
there's a number
gibberish before
the decimal point, it's usually a goals against average, unless you're having a come to Jesus season.
I know. And then he had a 0.922 save percentage.
That's
that
pretty
season.
Damn good.
So I mean, and that's the top Finnish league. So that's pretty damn impressive.
The Finns are pretty damn good at scoring goals, too.
I mean, they're just good at hockey in general. Mm-hmm. I think we're starting to see the Finns really establish themselves as, like, if they weren't already, like,
they are.
If people weren't realizing it already, top three hockey country.
Oh, 100%.
To me right
now. It's them in Sweden.
What was that?
Them in Sweden.
To me right now, it's Canada, U.S., Finland. Sweden's up there, too. Don't get me wrong, they're up there too, but I mean, Finland.
Now we're feeding into that rivalry. We don't want to feed into the hatred between the Finns and the Swedes.
Yeah,
I'm gonna side with the Swedes, but I'm also like 60% Swedish. So,
are you really?
I don't know. What tells you, the blonde hair or the blue eyes?
I am very Irish.
That doesn't shock me. Doesn't shock very many people.
I'm quite tan. I'm a little tan.
Well, I'm sure.
But I live
you
in
have
Los
some other.
Yeah.
Some other ethnicity to you besides Irish. None of us are pure born at this point, I would think.
I think I'm we did a what's that thing? Ancestry.com. Mm. And I think I'm like 1% Iberian Peninsula.
What does that even mean? Where is that?
I don't even know.
I mean, we're by the bridge when they passed over from Russia over to Alaska.
I think that's that's a Spain.
Damn it. What is that called?
It's like where Spain and Portugal are.
Yep.
So that's the Iberian Peninsula.
Crap. Now this can bug me. I'm not gonna be able to remember what the peninsula, like the bridge was, the land bridge between Alaska and Russia back in the day.
I'm trying to remember too.
Google.
I can't remember it. But speaking of countries that don't typically pump out a whole lot of hockey, you know, talent.
You going to Swiss? You going to Switzerland?
We're going to Switzerland.
Mm.
Or excuse me, not Switzerland. We're going to Norway.
Ah.
And we're talking about the one, the only, Mr. Matt Zuccarello. The king, the lizard king.
The lizard king. The lizard king?
Because he's the lizard king and he can do anything.
Okay.
Do you get the reference from the Doors movie? Have you seen that?
No.
You haven't seen that?
No.
Great movie. You should check it out.
I'll get right on it.
Very good.
I'll get right on it.
Fantastic movie. Zuccarello is another player who's really been turning it on over the last month or so. He's currently, he had a 3-point game the other night.
Yeah.
That's the first time he had that all season.
You can tell that he's definitely finally getting comfortable with his new surroundings and his new teammates. And let's not forget that he was injured for a good portion of the beginning of the season. And dealing with that, it wasn't a long-term one, but he missed a couple weeks. And, you know, just because they're playing doesn't mean they don't still feel pain in that same injury. It just means that it's not going to get any worse and they'll deal with the management otherwise. So it's great to see. I think you and I have both outlined, like, we like Matt Zuccarello as a player.
Yes.
We don't like it that the contract that they signed him to, but we
want... That's half the players on the team.
And you are paying him to basically have a good year this year and next year, and we'll deal with the rest when we get to it. But it's good to see that he is playing well, because it kind of seems like as Zach started to play well, as Matt started to play well, the rest of the team starts to follow, because those are your veteran leadership players, the ones that you count on to help break you out of the slumps that they were in. And hopefully they can keep it going, because it's a good thing. And they are definitely, I'm sure as hell surprised as anybody else. It's pretty crazy how much changes in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people can, we were just doing it, complaining about the contract and everything. But I feel like what's good about Zuccarello is I feel like he plays a game that can continue. He can still be good even when he gets into his later 30s, just because he's so smart.
And he's such a good skater.
Yeah, he's a fantastic skater. Mm-hmm. Like, and even if he slows down a bit, because he's going to, everyone does, like, he's so smart and his vision's fantastic.
Right.
He's going, I feel like he will still continue to produce some good.
The only way, and this is the same for Zach too, I think Matt's a better skater, but as long as they're not being gone after, the biggest thing that they have to fight against is the potential injury. You know, Zach deals with a lot of back problems because he spends a lot of his time in front of the net and guys cross check him constantly. And so when you're a smaller guy like that, you have a tendency to be picked on. So as long as you can try to stay clean, or at least have your buddies on the team who are a little bit bigger than you, push some guys around, they should be fine. But yeah, that's their biggest thing. It's not so much, you know, what body breaking down. It's that the body's broken for you.
Right,
and that it's
right.
The recovery that kind of does you in.
Folks, we're going to take a quick ad break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about two injured players on the Wild. We're going to talk about Jared Spurgeon. We're going to talk about Mikko Koivu and his 1,000th game.
Mm.
Pretty electric way to finish off your 1,000th game.
I'll say.
And we're going to talk a little bit about what is going on in the NHL right now. Because there's quite a few things that may or may not be in the headlines right now in the NHL. So we'll be talking about all those things when we come back from the break.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back for episode 7 of the Hockey Wilderness Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Quigley, and I'm also joined by Lindsay Brown.
Hello.
Find her on Twitter at LindsayBrown35. We were just about to talk about a couple injured players on the Wild, but you know what? I just realized I didn't even ask you. how your Thanksgiving went.
Oh, it was good.
What did you do?
It was good. I had some of my family come down from Minnesota, my dad, and then my two younger siblings, Maggie and Trent, and they had never been to the Strip. This is their first experience.
Oh, my.
So it was quite the weekend, and it's been quite the couple of weeks.
For those who don't know, we both live in Las Vegas.
Yes.
So obviously very authentic Minnesota Wild podcast here. I feel like I didn't have anybody come for Thanksgiving this year, which is kind of a bummer. I was sure you weren't that mad.
You just saw everyone at your brother's wedding.
We had a little Friendsgiving thing, me and my friend, Becca. So we went out, and her boss actually invited us over to his place for Thanksgiving. So we go, and we walk in. Turns out it was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Had a great time. Turns out his house is like Noah's Ark, where there's like two of every animal.
Oh my God.
There were like five dogs.
That's funny.
Like two cats. There was like three cages of birds. And so we were in the rainforest, basically. Oh.
Well, at least you had an authentic dinner. We went to Italy.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
That's actually great.
Fresh pasta. It was so freaking good.
What we were going to do is just go to Golden Corral.
Correct.
Which is the ultimate trashy thing to do.
This is the one thing that our generation actually is going to ruin, because we just don't care. Or like holidays and like making meals. There's 0% chance everybody's like, people will do it for the bit. Why wouldn't you go to Thanksgiving at McDonald's? Like, it's funny. You know, it's everybody else. We have our family with our homemade turkey and our stuffing that grandma's recipe you made from the old country and brought it with. Let's go to Outback Steakhouse, shall we?
Fox News is going to have an entire segment. Are the millennials destroying Thanksgiving?
We love destroying so many industries.
We'll talk about it when we come back from the commercial break.
Yes.
Jesus. Yeah, no, we're gonna destroy Thanksgiving. Christmas, oh man, it's a goner.
Yeah,
like, there's
Santa.
No... Santa, buddy.
See you later.
You're gone.
You need a gym membership, my friend.
Yeah, dude, you better start.
Santa's gonna have a six pack in 20 years for marketing purposes. It's a Ken doll.
Have you seen like the Ken dolls?
Yeah, and you get who's the lead guy who's in the good place, and he was in Cheers. Who's the bartender?
Oh, I don't even. I've never...
Ted should be Hot Santa.
I don't know. I don't get the reference.
I forget his last name. It's like Ted Danza. People are probably going to be like, these kids literally know.
We're very uncultured.
He is one of the most. He got arrested with Jane Fonda like 2 weeks ago out of Washington, D.C.
She gets arrested
once a week there. It's hilarious.
I know the show Cheers. I never watched an episode.
Ted Danza. Something like that. Ted.
Yeah.
Not the bear.
I never had time to watch Cheers because I was too busy watching.
It was Norman Cheers.
Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Oh, correct.
So like,
was Philadelphia born and raised?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fresh Prince.
Carlton one time went to the dance, took some pills. It was not a great night.
He took the speed.
Yeah.
Oh my God, kids. Gotta love speed, guys.
Interesting.
Kids, if you're listening, that was.
Podcast. This is a hockey podcast. Good God.
So, all right. I guess we can talk a little bit now about these injured players. So we've had a couple injuries, which is funny to say. We've had a lot of injuries so far this season for the Minnesota Wild. We've had Matt Zuccarello go down. We've had Joel Eriksson-Ek go down. Is it Joel or Joel Eriksson-Ek?
I like Joel.
Because
you should call him Jewel just for the bit. I like Yule, like Yule Log, Yule Eriksson-Ek.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those names.
Yeah, well, it's like a Swedish thing, and you know how they say yo or whatever.
Well, it's the same thing with Brodin. It was like Jonas Brodin, Jonas. You know, J's are different in European languages.
For him, I say Jonas Brodin.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if that's true, but.
You call him Janus.
I hate you. So.
I'm so loopy right now. I'm sorry.
So basically, we have Mikko Koivu down with an injury.
Oh, no.
He basically looks like it's a lower body injury. Should be fine. We mentioned this a little earlier in the podcast. He should be okay.
His leg? My leg?
Who knows? Really? Who really don't know? It could be. It's a lower body injury.
Nobody saw it.
No one knows exactly where he got hurt.
He could have like literally gotten slashed in the wrong part of the knee.
Pulled something.
Yeah,
like,
or it's a contusion.
Yeah.
Some shit like
so
that.
Something like that.
He's fine.
He will be back.
He's mean. He's fine.
What we really want to talk about is his 1,000th game.
Yes.
Because that was awesome. That was really just fantastic. I came into the game kind of. I was like, yeah, it's his 1,000th game. Like, it would be cool if he did something really awesome.
Well, especially for Mikko, too, because, like, he gets so much shit.
And I don't get, like...
Oh, I've ditched some of it.
Like, I get it, he's older, and he's the captain, so, like, I guess a lot of the blame on everything is just like, oh, we need more leadership from the captain and all that. And it's like, dude, do you really think that he's the problem? One dude is the problem?
No.
Like, it's not Koivu, let me tell you. So, Koivu, to me, I feel like he's been one of the best captains in the NHL over the last... I mean, I think there are, like, three or four longer tenured captains in hockey right now.
Right.
I can't think of any other ones that are... I mean, you got Crosby, Ovechkin. I'm pretty sure Ovechkin's been captain for longer than Koivu.
Yeah, most likely.
I mean...
Taves.
I think he has
Taves,
been longer.
Probably. Stamkos, probably.
I don't think Stamkos has, actually.
Oh, he might be young. He might be younger enough that he hasn't been long, but he got the C at a relatively young age well. Because with Crosby, they started giving out the C's to second-year players.
So... I mean, he's been a fantastic captain, and then in his 1,000th game, he had the performance that really, it was a thing of beauty, the whole thing, because he comes out, I believe his goal was to Kevin Fiala.
Mm.
Kevin Fiala. He's down along the, I want to say he was on the goal line. He got a feed from Parisi from behind the net, and he just kind of, you know, wrists a little pass toward Fiala, who was kind of stationed right above the crease, and he just redirected it in for a goal. And
nice.
Everyone was just losing their minds, and they're like, oh my God, he got his 700 point in his 1,000th game.
And wasn't
like,
it a game winner?
What was that?
Wasn't it a game winner as well?
That was not. That was that was just an assist. But
what
was the game winner was not only did the Minnesota Wild survive overtime, they didn't allow an overtime
goal. I know, them and the Golden Knights, they're finally off the schneid, man.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe they did it. They survived overtime. They forced a shootout. We got a couple goals from both teams, and then Koivu comes up. And I'm just like, I wouldn't use him in the shootout, but you know what? Let's do it. It's his 1,000th game. Who cares? And so it's his turn, and he just has, like, just puts on a slick backhand past Ben Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. It was fantastic. And then Stalock ended up making the clutch save to win the game. And it was beautiful. The whole thing was
nice.
Really awesome. You can't ask for a better storybook, I guess. I know that's a cliche.
Other than it being at home.
Yeah. And so and it was at home.
Oh, was it?
It was in Minnesota.
Oh, I'm thinking
about
his 1,000th game. His actual 1,000th game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was at home.
I thought it was away because they were going to celebrate it when they got back home.
I don't know why they're doing that. I believe they're doing that this week.
It's probably because they just schedule it because they know it's going to happen, and just based off of injury, you don't want to fly people in just willy nilly. You know, if you don't know exactly what day it's going to happen, but it all works. Congrats.
That was just really good to see him do. Honestly, I feel like we could agree. I'm not sure he should be back next season. Just because I feel like it's time for the Wild to refocus just kind of
He should not be on this team next season. They need that money.
They need the money, but they also just... I feel like it's time that they just kind of reorganize their toolkit. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like
they need that money to go buy a new tool.
And so that's what they need to do. If he were to come back, I wouldn't be mad because I do think he plays a really important role in the locker room. Obviously, he wouldn't if he was the captain. Or if he's the captain, he must. And he's still a really good 200-foot player. He's a fantastic defensive center. So
I know
he's not like a 70-point, 60-point player like he was back in the day.
If he's willing to take like a very, very low, like close to veterans minimum contract, then maybe I consider it.
Right.
But.
And who knows? This could be his last go-around, and he's like, you know what? I know this franchise, it's going to be a while before we're like actually competitive again. So maybe he says, screw it, I'm going to retire, and... Then he seems like the kind of guy who would stick around and like do things.
I don't think so. I bet you he'll go back home. Most of the Finns and Swedes end up going back home.
You don't think he would stick around and do things with the organization?
No, I think he'll go home for a while. If anything, he'll be a European scout for them or maybe work development for him.
Right, yeah.
But I think he'll want to go back to Finland.
Even that, like something for the team. I feel like he would do something.
Right. His brother went back. So Saku's back there. He's doing stuff for whoever, and it's the same thing. But it's not a bad thing. He'll still be around. They come back over here all the time. But
right, yeah.
They have a tendency to go
Saku
back.
Saku's here for the game.
Yeah.
The 1,000th game.
Well, that's the whole point.
So, I mean, It wouldn't be the worst thing if he came back just because he is so good playing a defensive game, but I do, you know, I think this should probably be
it. They don't have anybody else who can do what Koivu does, and so if he does leave, they're going to need to figure out exactly by committee or by an individual, but nobody has seen or has shown the ability to play, as you said, 200 feet as consistently as Koivu does, but his game has drawbacks too, so it's just like anything else.
Right. Second player that has an injury, his is a little more serious.
Barely.
All right, so it's Jared Spurgeon. Jared Spurgeon he got hurt the other day blocking a Alexander Barkov shot, hit him right in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, he was having trouble gripping his stick. He went directly off the ice right after Barkov, of course, scored a power play goal. And so he goes off the ice, doesn't return to the game. Michael Russo of The Athletic reports after the game that a source told him that he may have a broken hand and that it's the type of broken hand that could cause him to be out of action for 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, that's pretty much all breaks, usually.
That would have been awful. Absolutely. Especially,
well, it's not that bad. It's better than him tearing something.
Right. But, I mean, you don't want to lose perhaps the team's best player.
Oh, no. It's not perhaps. It's haps.
He would, I mean.
Just straight up haps.
Losing him would be the worst. It would be absolutely terrible. And so.
But he's just going to miss a couple weeks, though, right?
It turns out it's only going to be a couple weeks long that he'll be out.
It's a hairline fracture or something like that or dislocation.
Yeah. We'll see just how long it actually is because sometimes teams say, oh, it'll be 2 weeks and then it ends up being three or something like that. But
it depends on the hand too, because you and as defenseman, I think he's left-handed. If it's his right hand, he's not gonna be able to play. If it's his left hand, he could come back earlier because defenseman, as long as you can poke check, as long as you can have your top hand on your stick, you can pretty much play. You're not gonna be able to shoot the puck, but they've done it in playoffs. But if it's just a break, just let him heal up and just hope to.
Hold he's a righty.
Okay,
so
be his left hand. You want that one to be the non-injured one. But if it's either way, whatever top hand of your stick, that's the one that controls your stick the most. That's the one that you don't want broken.
How did you learn to handle the puck?
Practicing a lot.
Well, no, like I know, like when you were a kid, did anyone say like, "Hey, hold your stick this way," or hold
actually,
your stick
yes.
That way?
When I was shooting.
Yeah, because
no.
I'm a righty shot.
I'm a righty shot too,
but in Canada, everyone's a lefty shot because they're told
There is somewhat of an element that you're told like hockey players are left-handed, but then you see the shortage of right-handed defensemen and how much they get paid and how important they are.
Right.
You just do with it depends on your coach, depends on your parents. Sometimes parents make their kids be a different hand. You know, in school they used to hit your hands with rulers if you wrote left-handed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same type of thing. But I'm right-handed shooting, but I was left-handed for goalie, so I can do both.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. I just randomly thought about that just because everyone always makes a big deal out of right-handed defensemen.
There's usually a wage gap.
Whatever
hand you use or whatever way you swing a baseball bat or a golf club, it's usually the same way. But I've seen people who do opposite. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they're
to
freaks.
Me.
Yeah, they're
but,
loons.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and that's like you, you're crazy.
Well, you're just very athletic.
Yeah. Really, I'm just jealous
you're
of
ambidextrous.
You is what it is. Yeah.
I'm like partially ambidextrous.
I am not at all.
That's
but,
okay.
So now I want to get to, Spurgeon, 2 weeks, should be back pretty soon. Thank God. That's very good, especially for this Wild team that all of a sudden is in contention for the playoffs. So that's good for them. That's good for Spurgeon. Now I want to get to the big thing. So let's just say it. Bill Peters.
Yes. He's no longer the coach of the Calgary Flames.
That he is not.
It's a good thing that he's no longer the coach of the Calgary Flames.
And
there's no room for that in this game.
No.
Straight up.
Mike Babcock also shouldn't be the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Which he is not. And he shouldn't be the coach of any NHL team ever.
Be better. That's it. We don't need to really go that deep in it because it's just straight up. If you need to debate it, then you need to take a look in the mirror because it's not about what you said. It's about how people perceive it. Perception is reality. That's one of the biggest lessons my coach ever taught me in college is perception is because you think people are misreading it. Doesn't matter because it's being it's read how it's read.
Right, folks. If you're not quite sure what we're referring to, the now former head coach of the Calgary Flames, Bill Peters, was accused of using racial slurs towards a black player that he used to coach with the, I believe it was the Chicago Ice Hogs?
Yes, the AHL affiliate of the Chicago Blackhawks.
At the time,
2009 through 10.
Yeah. Akeem Alou was the player who came out and said, yes, this happened. And it wasn't just him saying, like, yeah, this happened, and there was no proof.
No, it was corroborated.
Multiple players came out and said, yeah, like, we were there. We saw and heard
separately.
The whole thing. So it's not like this is a made-up thing. Then it comes out that he was hitting players and kicking players on the bench. And not only was that not just accused, Rod fucking Brind'Amour comes out and says,
hey, he's the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, used to be an assistant coach when Bill Peters was there. Sarah Siveney of the Athletic asks, like, she reported basically on Twitter. He comes out during a press conference and says, guys, I know what you're going to ask. It's all true.
Yeah.
All of it. And so it's guys, hockey culture needs to change. Lindsay, if you don't mind me asking.
Yep.
When you were in your playing days.
Yep.
Were there things that you wish were different in how hockey culture was for you?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. There's plenty. And it's a little bit different when you're dealing with, if you're talking about hockey culture as a whole versus on the women's side or on the men's side,
and
crossing over. There's definitely a lot of things that are specifically wrong with the girls' side. There's definitely things that are specifically wrong with the boys' sides, and there's things that cross over. You know, there are definitely some coaches where I won't say it was anything like that, but there have been lines crossed, and it's not. It depends on the coach, because sometimes if they're an overall bad coach, this isn't like it. This doesn't come out of nowhere, and you just kind of deal with it and you move on. But the problem is. And the issue that this really causes, and why this, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what it said, because the coach is in a power position in the dynamic. They have power over the lives of their players, not just of their playing time, but when you're talking about professional hockey players or when kids are growing up or in college, their livelihood, like, that's legit.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem. It's the word itself, the feeling that was evoked by Bill Peters and what he said. The word is the problem, obviously, but the problem is that it's so isolating. And when you're not, and I'm guessing it feels a lot, because you can't step up and say something to him. Because if you step up and say something,
your hockey career is done.
And that's your coach. You say, you know what? Fuck you. Sit down.
And guess what happened? Guess what happened when he spoke up? Like, one day at practice, Peters went up to him and he said something, and he said, like, don't fucking talk to me.
Right.
And like, then guess, like, what happens? He gets sent to the ECHL.
Right. Exactly. Like, if you went up to your teacher and say their teacher did something and you went up and reported it, or went up and stood up to him, and what do you think is going to happen? You're going to fail the class. Or you're going to go to detention. Or if you stood up back to your parents saying something. I had a couple of times where if I was jawing with one of my parents, my mom would be like, you can't say that. You're getting your mouth washed out with soap.
Yeah.
Okay. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to win an argument because I'm not the one in the power position.
I think I still have the taste of soap in my mouth from the amount of times I got my mouth washed out.
And most of the time, it wasn't even for swearing. It was just because there is a certain amount of respect that needs to be put towards people in power positions. But when they take advantage of it,
yes,
like the way that Bill Peters did, they need to be removed from that position, because that is literally manipulation.
Yeah.
That is not right. No matter what is said, done, whatever else, if you're taking advantage of people just because you have more power over them, that's wrong. I don't care.
And it's Mike Babcock too. So for those of you who didn't hear, he basically pulled Mitch Marner, he's one of the most electric offensive players in the game. He pulled him aside in his rookie year and basically said, hey, I want you to make a list for me. I want you to make a list of the hardest working players all the way down to the least hardest working players. And he did, because his coach asked him to. And what he didn't know is that his coach told those players that he listed them at the bottom of the list. And they weren't even mad at Marner. They were like, dude, why would you put this kid in this position?
Because that's just normal. It's an asshole move to do as a coach. It's ridiculous. And anybody else put in any other position would do the exact same thing, because Babcock was in the power position, and you don't fight back, especially as a rookie.
And then we're hearing stuff from Chris Chelios. He was on the Spit and Chicklets podcast.
Right. There's a lot of it's. Yeah. We are very likely entering some sort of reckoning, at least temporarily, in the game of hockey. And if you're scared, if you're nervous about it, if you're a coach or whatever, everybody should take a look at how they coach and how they interact with people every day in general, because we can all be better at it. But especially if you're a hockey coach, and I know that there's a lot of people involved in the hockey community back in Minnesota, because I'm one of you.
Yep. Yep.
Just take a second and be like, am I interacting with my players correctly? Could I do this any better?
Treat them like people.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not. But even if you're the best coach of all time, there are improvements that you can make. There are ways that you can more effectively communicate and get more out of your players. Because let me tell you, they're not the same each and every year. People grow. Kids change. Mm-hmm. We are in a growing society in a very, very tumultuous time. Communicatively right now.
Yeah.
So just take a look and you just remember that it's a game. People are trying their best oftentimes, and even when they're not, it's usually because there's a reason that they're not. So just treat everybody better, treat how you would like to be treated, grow up, don't say shit to people that shouldn't be said.
Pretty simple.
It's pretty simple. If you have to think twice about it, if you wouldn't say it in front of your mom or your dad or your grandparents, don't say it to anybody. Grow up.
Folks, that is just about all the time we have for episode 7 of the Hockey Wilderness Podcast. Just a quick disclaimer, in a couple weeks, the Minnesota Wild are going to be here where we hold this podcast, where we record this podcast in Las Vegas.
Woot woot.
So that's a couple weeks away. Both me and Lindsay, we will both be in the press box for that game. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're going to have a whole lot of content for the Wild. I'll be in the locker room. I'll be doing all that fun stuff. So should be a really good time. Looking forward to it. It's been a while since I've been at a game at T-Mobile Arena, so I'm looking forward to it for sure. But until then, we were going to let you go for episode 7. We will be back in the next week or so whenever we have free time, because our schedules are just off the charts crazy. So, but we will be back very, very soon for episode 8. Of the Hockey Wilderness Podcast. Until next time, folks, stay wild.